about this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
I want them to use like wireless energy, do like Tron like stuff, have them like glowing.
What do you want? You want them wearing like laser tag outfits?
Why does everything have to be so retro?
It's better. It's still not good.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. We are recording live on December 11th, 2013, mostly live. Of course, in the would this be the Penrod Studios, or would this be the...
I always call it the Penrod Dungeon.
Yeah, the more of a dungeon.
I was going to say Aaron's House of Fun, but your game room sounds more. It seems more appropriate to have that title.
Yeah, I always go with Penrod Dungeon.
Very subterranean.
All right, and this is the Meat Beast. Sitting to my right, of course, is Aaron.
What up?
And Kenny's straight across from me.
Yo.
And behind me, making faces and flipping me off to my back, is Jive Midnight.
Hey, good evening.
He's also manning our control board and all the other fun stuff.
Pinned against the boards.
Yes. All right. It's been a week.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to be here for most of the show last week, so I can't remember what all we talked about.
Talked about Heatley falling over and...
No, that's every week.
Heatley sucking and...
And the and Finnish conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah, the Finnish conspiracy theory.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I might need a rundown if we take a break on what the Finnish conspiracy theory is. I think you guys explained it to me this weekend, but I was so sleep deprived it didn't really matter.
Well, and if you missed it, you can always go back and listen to our past episode.
Very true.
Get caught up.
Exactly.
So we'll, I guess, start off the Wilds week on a high note, beating the Blackhawks.
Yeah, we'll beat them 4-3.
Yeah, it was a close game. Yeah. Ended up real tight towards the end. It was a good game, though.
Yep, and it was a fun one to at least see. It was a lot of motion,
yeah,
and a lot of emotion.
it was definitely an up and down game. I mean, the Wild had an early lead, and then kind of blew it, and then came surging right back.
There was a first in a while though in this game, and it's, I don't know if it's a good thing or just sad, but it's the first goal by a defenseman other than Brodin since October 12th.
Yep,
this game.
That was by Scandella. He scores his first goal of the season.
That wasn't even a slap shot. It was a quick wrister from top of the circle.
Right.
It just blew right past. Nice looking shot.
But it was great timing with less than 2 minutes left, and that was enough to win the game. You know, that's considering we've been struggling to get scoring from our blue line. That's a big help.
Drastic improvement there.
So
yeah.
They improved to 13-0-3 when leading after two.
Yeah, and I believe their record after leading after one is 8-0-1 now too.
So as long as they score first or end after two, you know, a point is
if they can lead
good.
After one or two, they're doing pretty good. If they're not, that's where most of their losses, all their losses are coming
that
from.
That kind
of
happened the following game.
And this was also their first regulation victory at home against the Blackhawks since October 27th, 2008. So 5 years ago? 6 years ago?
Five years ago? Which, well, four and a half. I guess you shouldn't really count last season.
Oh.
I do actually find it humorous that the Wild do better against the Hawks at United Center than they do at the X.
It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, really.
Yeah, yeah. But it's kind of fun to go, okay, well, if you're going to pee in our pool, we'll pee in yours.
Well, it's also been a span where the Blackhawks have just been lights out, and the Wild have been pretty terrible.
There's also that huge span where the Wild couldn't win in the Saddle Dome playing against Calgary.
Yeah,
true. For how many years did that go on, and all of a sudden they turned it around, and they couldn't lose in Calgary, yet Calgary still kind of had our number here.
Right, and well... Yeah, that's true. It's almost like, at least in the past, we've always played up or down to our competition. wow.
That sounds like a powerful drink there.
Why? Yes, yes.
Meat Bees just popped open an old speckled hen, and it was a.
For those of you, next time I'll gassy. Make sure when I'm open one of these to put it closer to the microphone so you can appreciate the splendor of a pub draft can being opened.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
So with that,
oh god, yeah. And now that we got derailed by me opening a beer, sorry about that.
Well, Wild kind of got derailed too.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they showed up on Friday nights, and the Blue.
Did they?
Well, I don't know if they necessarily showed up because the Blue Jackets did shut them out.
They may as well not have.
Yeah, 4-0, just a terrible game.
Wait, that's the Whale, right? Hartford? No, wait.
Columbus?
Same state, wrong. Yeah, okay.
But same state 4-0. What?
I don't know.
Anyway,
why don't you open another beer?
I am about to.
Josh is mentally in Bangladesh tonight.
Yeah, mentally in Bangladesh and the most sober I've been behind a microphone, and I can't think of how long, so...
Anyway, Wild were outshot 41-20. It was the most shots in the game this season by the Blue Jackets. Also, the most shots given up by the Wild this season.
Just disturbingly so at that. I mean, the Wild have been pretty good about making sure that they're always out shooting their opponents this year. When they're not, it's really tight.
Well, what does this also say when so far they've been 0-for-5 on the 5-on-3s?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't remember if it was like a minute and a half. They had a long
About a minute and 40, minute and yeah. 40, minute 35, something like that, of 5-on-3. Well, and they looked horrible.
When you really think about it, a 5-on-3 is a big advantage for the other team with all that open ice out there.
If you've got a good goalie, sure.
Yeah.
but they weren't even playing Bobrovsky either.
No, so. Bobrovsky's out right now.
Yeah, so...
Okay, I rescind my apology and now apply it to Drive Midnight.
Well, it doesn't help when you get our favorite gentleman skater on the ice, Mr. Danley Heatley, who was -3 in 12 minutes of playing time that game, too.
Yeah, multiple mid-ice turnovers, falling down as per usual.
Bad passes all around.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Just didn't look good at all. Also, I got to place a note in here also that the officiating was pretty much terrible.
Oh, it was absolutely horrible. And I don't, Aaron, was that the game we were watching where it was horrible on both ends?
It was pretty bad on both ends. It really was. And after that 5-on-3 expired, there was a totally missed tripping call where it would have gone back into 5-on-3 for the additional 25 seconds.
That's right.
Seconds
that's
or
when,
whatever.
What's his name, had the breakaway going
yep.
on. Pominville?
Pominville, yep. So it's it was just a bad game all around, except for the Blue Jackets. They did all right, obviously.
Well, the officiating needed some help, too.
And so
even if the officiating needs help, though, there's still the fact that it was 4-0.
And you're outshot 41-20.
Yeah, so you can only
say
so
you're
much.
Outshot right. by more than double.
Yeah, the Zebras certainly didn't help.
No, no,
but
not at all.
But they are not ultimately to blame here.
But who is to blame? I'm going to place my blame on Nicklas Backstrom. Another loss for Nicklas. That puts him at 2-4-2 on the season with a 2.91 goals against average. It's pretty obvious his role is already pretty diminished with his team at this point since Harding is so hot. So what do we do with Backstrom? I mean, do we?
Well, first off, you can't lay blame on a goalie for when he's got 41 shots coming his way. I mean, his save percentage in that game was still decent.
Sure. But
about 75%?
No.
Yeah,
0.75. No, he would have been at about...
0.77 then?
That's 900.
No, 900.
900, yeah.
When we lose 75% of the games he starts, at some point you got to start putting the blame on him, I would think.
So. Yeah, that is valid.
I can't vouch for him there, but you can't blame him for that loss there in Columbus. Not when you got 41 shots coming your way.
I don't think he's going to get re-signed.
But he's got 2 more years on his contract. After this season, he's getting $3.5
with
million.
A no trade clause, if I remember correctly.
That we'd have to look up.
But yeah, he's got 2 more years each, $3.5 million apiece.
That's a fairly decent hit.
It is, but at the same point, you know, I'm obviously Harding's doing great, but with the MS and all that, can we
how
really,
is it going to last? Yeah,
can we really count on him?
Right now, we're questioning whether or not we can count on Backstrom. And part of this goes back to our original gripe with Yo, going, okay, skate your backup goalies occasionally.
Well, and they are doing it.
Finally.
They're skating Backstrom, but the thing is one, if even if the Wild wanted to try to get rid of him, there's no guarantee that Harding's going to be healthy over the next few years.
Exactly.
Kemper
is he's not mature enough, and I don't know that Gustafson is either. So we got really young goalies sitting in the minors
that we never really, when they are up, we never really skate them, so they don't get a chance to realize what's expected.
And when
they
we
might
do
get
skate them, they're not good.
Kemper was all right last year.
This year he's absolutely horrible.
He's a mess this year.
I think we need to look at maybe trading Backstrom for maybe another goalie prospect, maybe somebody that would be like Hackett.
Does someone want Backstrom? I think at $3.5 million he might be worth the gamble because he's cheap enough.
And his percentage is good enough overall. And yeah,
I mean he's got like a 0.89 save percentage, something like that. So it's all right. It's not
It's not stellar, but it's solid.
Right. I mean it's good enough, but I have a tough time. Knowing if someone's actually going to bite on that.
Another thing you got to think about is the future. I mean, what are we doing for our chances in the future as far as having a decent goaltender?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Backstrom's going to be 36 here in February.
So we got him till he's 39. Not quite as bad as what's his name's contract from Vancouver?
Luongo.
Luongo.
Yeah.
Who admitted he signed a horrible contract, but...
Well, he didn't sign it. He signed a wonderful contract.
Yeah, for him.
The Canucks gave him a...
No, he actually had said he signed a horrible contract because he can't get out of it.
He didn't sign a horrible contract. For him, he signed a great contract.
Not if he wants to go to another team.
Sure.
Valid point, but...
He's getting paid. Either way.
And he doesn't have to worry about it, right. Especially being in the August of his career, as it were.
And I don't think he said he signed a terrible contract. He said his contract is terrible.
Yeah, that could be.
Which is,
I think that's a different thing. Yeah, there is.
The bigger problem for me looking at Backstrom's stats is the goals against average for him. He's 2.91?
2.91. I mean, that's awfully damn high.
That's the telling thing. The save percentage being 0.897, that's at least within acceptable realm. Somebody might be interested in picking him up if they've already got a starting goalie.
Right.
Like, he'd easily be able to find a spot. The hard part there is how many shots he's letting find the twine.
What's that going to do to his ego if he gets traded to a backup goalie role?
He's already been relegated to a backup goalie role. Really.
I mean, I know we had discussed that last week, and Yo basically was like, yeah, I'm not going to discern. We've got, two great goalies, but I think his hands are kind of tied right now.
Yeah, they are. And at this point, it's really going to depend on, down the road here is if he can pick it up a little bit, before the All-Star break, but the
Olympic
break. Maybe... Either he can be moved, or maybe he'll settle down a little bit to the Backstrom that
we all know and love, and right. Rah rah rah.
Yeah.
The other thing is, will the Olympic break actually affect his play and bring it back up,
or conversely, bring Harding down?
Exactly.
Cool him off.
That coming up, all the different people going to skate for their teams, their home countries. You can actually see where the momentum will shift on an entire team just due to a handful of players.
Oh, yeah.
From them actually being boosted by the Olympics.
Well, that's because they continue to play over that period of time. I mean, that's the other thing, is Backstrom has had lots of injuries this year that have kept him off the ice. And, and now with Harding being so hot, Backstrom just isn't getting the opportunities to play, so...
And I don't even know.
And is he fully recovering?
You come in kind of cold.
And I don't think he is. Every game they're talking about how he's still recovering.
Backstrom?
Yeah, he's still recovering. He's not 100%.
Well, why is he? Well, we know why he needs to play. We need to rest Harding.
Right. But then again, I don't even know if he's going to get a chance to play with Team Finland with Pekka Rinne. I think is going to be Finland's top goalie. And
more than likely.
And I think Kari Laitinen might be their number two. I don't even know. So
the Finns are known for putting out great goalies.
No doubt.
Well, you know, okay, so we talk about the shots on goal, and ironically, the next game that the Wild play against the Sharks, they're almost outshot 3-1 this time.
yeah.
Outshot Harding with 37 saves, so outshot 38-13.
Wow.
Although the Wilds beat the Sharks 3-1. So Harding with an amazing 37 saves. Only goal given up was with the goalie pulled on a 6-on-5 attack.
So, I mean, that makes me go back and say, maybe, obviously, you can't expect a guy to make 37 saves every game. You just can't do that. But at the same point, if we're letting up that many shots, we need someone who's going to stop a lot of shots.
Well, and admittedly, I did not get to see the Columbus game. So was it anything where it was high-pressure situations where you faced a lot of shots in quick succession and then got a chance to cool off after they had just beat him down?
There was just – I mean, the ones he gave up were just – I mean, I think there was like two okay goals, but, you know, the other ones were just – they were stoppable. If it was harder than that, it probably wouldn't – you know, we still – that doesn't mean we would have scored any goals still. We still would have lost. I mean, if you don't score any goals, you're going to lose every time. But
another question I want to ask, just as devil's advocate, but a point that I've been trying to pay attention to recently, was the team playing differently due to the fact that Backstrom was in net instead of Harding?
Hence the Finnish
conspiracy.
All right. Cool.
I
brought up a callback without even meaning to. Brilliant.
I think we need a Finnish conspiracy bumper.
I'm pretty sure we do.
So, man,
we totally got a cheers on that one, gentlemen.
You are one pathetic loser.
So yeah,
okay,
the
Sharks.
The Finnish conspiracy. The Wild beat the Sharks 3-1, ending off last week's games. Parisi, 2 goals with an empty netter.
Yep, and Brent Burns getting to make his little comeback at home. Didn't do much. It's always weird looking at him playing forward, though.
It is. It was even weird watching him play the forward with the Wild.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But there was one point in the Sharks game where he was around the net and goalie for the Sharks was way out of position. And you see Brent Burns going back in defenseman mode, goes down on a knee for a block shot right on the side of the goal. And I was like, man, I kind of wish we had that guy still.
No, I think he actually came up through the minors and the juniors and stuff as a forward. And I believe it was Lemaire that put him back as a D.
Yeah.
Which at the time made sense because Lemaire had a very defensive squad, like a defensive collapsing squad. Right. And if he was trying to make an improvement, at that point, you get a defensive-minded forward or a skating-minded defenseman that is willing to play a forward spot when needed.
Right.
So, I mean, I think instinctively he's a very well two-way player, very good two-way player.
And I think, you know, I hate to say it, but in the few years that he's been around in the league, it seems like, at least it seems to me as a layman, that the forwards in the league have gotten bigger and stronger, more like Brent Burns, whereas typically that size of body would get thrown in D.
Or on a fourth line as an enforcer.
Well, right.
And also one of the other reasons why I believe Lemaire threw him as a defenseman is we needed, playing that much of a defensive, like, collapse trap that Lemaire was playing, we needed blue liners who could shoot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, most of the old school Wild scoring was predicated on slap from the point and hoping for some rebound junk around the net, you know?
Yeah, no, it totally was. And Burns does have an awesome shot off the blue line.
Right.
He really does. But he's also, I mean, he's not the fastest forward in the world.
No. I mean, he's got enough wheels for a big guy like he is.
Oh, absolutely. You know. What?
I said Heatley.
Oh, Heatley. You know, and he doesn't have the best stick handling, but he is a physical forward, and he does have an awesome shot, and he can go back and play D, and he's not afraid to take a puck.
No.
By blocking the net, I really think you helped your team.
No, he's a really good, you know, just two-way guy.
That was one trade that I was really bummed about, especially because we Well, was that with Heatley or was that Setoguchi we got for him? I think it was Setoguchi.
Right.
And then we no longer
we
have.
We got Coyle as well, though.
We did.
Yeah.
And Coyle's been worth the money.
Right.
Although I still miss Burns.
He's struggling in the faceoff circle.
Yeah, he is. And speaking of that, Russo had a good point that, you know, Coyle has been working with Zenon Konopka on his faceoffs. Konopka right now leads the league in faceoff percentage at 65%.
Which kind of blows my mind a little bit.
It really does. But I think he's also the NHL active leader in faceoffs as well. So that 65 is just this year, but I think career-wise, he's right now the active leader. Coyle, on the other hand, is last in the league with 36% winning percentage. Do we think Coyle should actually stay a center? I mean,
well, he was playing pretty good as a wing on that top line.
Yeah, with Koivu centering that line.
With Koivu and Parisi.
Yeah.
I do like him there. The one thing right now we got to look at, though, is we no longer have Granlin.
Yep.
Which hurts. So then that gives us Brodziak, which Brodziak has always done good as a second line center.
I mean, he's not Konopka great, but he's, you know, 50% club right around there.
But when, you know, when you'd have, what was it, the Brodziak with
Cook?
Was it Brodziak, Cook, and Heatley starting off a lot of the games? I think for a while. They were getting those goals right off the bat.
Right. Yeah, and that's why for the beginning of the season, Cook was, you know, leading the team in goals.
Yeah.
And,
so, I don't know. I would say maybe move Brodziak back to the second line, especially with Granlin being hurt right now.
Yeah.
Coyle back on the wing with Parisi and Koivu.
And then the Wild just sent down Halla, so that was your other center option in choice for Zucker. But, yeah. You know,
And we still got... Well,
which I was waiting to tie that back in, but...
and we still have Mitchell listed as a center right now, too. Which I don't know if I've seen him play center much this year. This is according to ESPN right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, maybe if Konopka gets kicked out, you know, kind of like Cook will go in sometimes.
Right.
Pominville
well,
on
no,
the first line.
ESPN actually has him listed as one of the Wild centers.
Okay. Well,
that's ESPN.
You can also note that he was the third star of the game when the Wild did beat the Sharks there.
Yeah, 0 points.
Right.
Heatley?
No,
Mitchell.
Mitchell,
yeah.
Okay, please tell me Scandella got a star in that game because he tallied 2 assists in there and helped set up the plays.
Jive?
Yeah, Jive.
Jive?
I don't believe so.
Oh.
I think it was
Parisi
and Harding. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Other stars.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
well, you know, you got a playmaker back there just setting up 2 of the goals for you, and you don't even bother to give him out of the hat there, don't you know? Fair enough. Okay. He does have to do a bit more work.
Well, right now we need to get Granlin healthy, though. Get him back in the circles, playing faceoffs. Get him, if anything, put him on the third line for the time being. Cut his playing time down just a touch. But
well, he needs to get his head healthy. Without his head fixed, things are going to be a problem.
Yeah,
but slowly get him back up. Maybe limit his time on ice. Currently, put Brodziak as second line. You know, move Coyle around as a wing if he's not going to be winning faceoffs.
Yeah.
You don't. He's got too much talent to put him even as like a fourth line faceoff guy.
Right.
Just to keep him as a center, you're better off keeping him as a wing where he's making plays and scoring goals.
Right? Because I mean, you can only lose so many faceoffs before things aren't, you know, before you're in a deficit. Because you can't control the puck if you don't control the puck.
Well, I mean,
hey Madden, settle down.
And I've got to make a quick correction here, Koivu and. Was the second star of the game, and then Harding was the first star of the game.
Yep.
But regardless, you can't relegate Coyle to the fourth line as a center, which would be the only open spot for him right now.
Yeah.
As far as I look at it,
I mean, he maybe be third line center, but
again, he's making he makes too many plays with some of the top skaters to do that to him.
You're better off trying to move him to a wing and try someone else at center.
Absolutely.
So I know some people would argue the same thing about Heatley, though, Kenny.
Well, Heatley, I think, should be relegated to the pine line.
Well,
but that's just my
opinion.
He
should
opinion.
Be up in the press box eating popcorn.
Regardless of that,
exactly.
We don't. That is not
and
an
corn
option.
Dogs.
That is not an option. Some people have argued, though, that if you put him with better skaters, he produces better.
He's been
because
on every
more,
line
more
this year. He's been on every line this year.
I mean, you can only turn over on every line so many times before, you know. And the ice doesn't change depending on who you're skating with. The ice is still the ice, and if you can't skate, you can't skate.
Granted, you know, look at Pominville. Without Granlund, he's not
stats dropping.
He's scoring is. I mean, he does well enough on that top line, but he's not.
If for nothing else, then all the times we've argued chemistry.
Chemistry, yes.
Chemistry. Chemistry, you can melt ice as well. So
yeah, true.
Well, you got to look at the one thing I did notice from the Sharks game was Heatley didn't seem to have much love on the ice from Sharks players.
Oh, I bet not.
And if you remember, Pickles from St. Louis, or not St. Louis, San Jose, was the one who dislocated his shoulder late in the season last year.
Yeah.
I think he probably did the normal Heatley's thing and pissed off everyone in the locker room in San Jose. And
so you think he's doing it here now?
Maybe. And probably.
Well, is he actually pissing anybody off in the locker room, though?
I don't know. All I can say, it's easier to make friends.
Outside of people getting paid less than him.
If you're playing well and you're a good player, people will put up with your crap. When you're playing like garbage, the all-star attitude doesn't go as far.
No, definitely not.
You know?
And, you know, yeah, chemistry is chemistry. Pominville does play better with Granlund, but he plays better with Granlund. He doesn't play just horrible on every other line.
Right.
Heatley hasn't had seemed to lock up with chemistry with anybody else.
Not this season, at least. I mean, I don't know if maybe it was that hit from Vlasic last year. Maybe he's still just not recovered quite from that shoulder injury. I don't know. But he's not the same player he was even in the first year.
No.
Even last year. But, you know, his first years in Minnesota, he's not the same player anymore.
All right. That does kind of bring us up to some interesting stuff going on.
So, Matt Dumba. His WHL rights were traded from Red Deer to Portland, but he's currently on loan to Team Canada for the World Juniors.
Yeah.
All right, and with that, with the WHL right being traded, does this mean his season with the Wild is done, considering he was just about to get sent back down since all he's been doing is sitting on the bench?
Yeah.
Being a healthy scratch.
He's been scratched the eight last games and 19 games so far in this short season.
Yeah. We're at what? We're at game 34 tonight.
Yeah, and you got to look at it. You know, right now they're already scratching Prosser pretty much every game. Do they really want to scratch two guys and have Dumba just not developing?
No, we need to get Dumba playing somewhere.
And I think Russo had pointed out that Portland's on a playoff run, so Russo isn't under the thought that. You know, this is a telltale sign that Dumba's going to be sent down to his junior team, and
to make some goals for said junior team. Yes,
give him some seasoning before next year and
in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Okay, so what happens with his contract now? Is his contract remain the same with the WHL between that and the NHL, even though he's with different teams, or does that reset where he gets so many games to play now since he's with a different team?
He's basically burnt up so many days of his professional contract
that he can't play anymore without burning his WHL, right?
No, I don't think he's at that point.
No, because he hasn't actually skated because he spent some time with his WHL team this year, right?
No, not this, last year. With the WHL, you have to be, if you're under a certain age, you can only be, and you're Canadian. You have to be returned to your Canadian team. If you're over a certain age, you can be sent down to the AHL. So that's in the why he's in the position he's in. Is he can only be sent to Canada because of how young he is.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
Well,
it's to keep the integrity.
I meant that seriously. I didn't mean that sarcastically.
It's to keep their integrity of their junior teams, you know.
Exactly. I meant that seriously, not sarcastically. I probably came out sarcastic. But.
So, what are your thoughts? You think he'll be back up after the World Juniors?
I mean, unlike last year, I really can't look at our D men and go, they just stink for this and this reason. They're obviously struggling to score, but Stoner looks a lot better than he did last year. Scandella looks a lot better than he did last year. I mean, Scandella was sent down last year.
Spurgeon's rocking the hits. He's been playing physical for a little guy.
It's still one of our weak points, though, overall. It's our defense.
It's a really young D. It really is.
We talk about Suter and...
Brodeen.
Brodeen.
Brodeen's young.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like I'm forgetting somebody?
That's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, then, you know, we'd have Ballard. Dumba. Ballard. Yeah. But Ballard's been in and out.
In and out from injury.
But when he's
but
back,
we
he's
haven't
solid.
Had strong enough D presence, and we definitely haven't had the veteran side of it outside of Suter. And basically the three we initially named when I went, okay, who's our real strong? Everybody else has been hit or miss. Then again?
I think whereas last year I thought Stoner and Scandella particularly were defensive liabilities, I don't feel the same way this year. They're obviously not scoring. Prosser, Stoner, Scandella, Suter even, Ballard, none of them are scoring. Brodeen's the only D-man scoring.
Mm.
But defensively, I'm not going every game going, there's no Tom Gilbert where I'm going, he's out of position again. There's a goal again, and he's on the ice again.
I will say it's not as bad.
No, it isn't. And I think that's probably forcing the Wild to go, we can't keep Dumba here, and what are we punishing Stoner for when Dumba's making even more mistakes?
Fair enough.
You know, and he's still a young kid. He's still really young. So,
well, at least, you know, Suter is number four on total points for the Wild right now.
Oh, he's got a ton of assists.
He does. But after that, the goals are limited.
Yeah, they were.
To our forwards.
Yeah, with the exception of Brodeen.
Yeah.
I think he's got five on the season.
He does.
Like that. Yeah.
He's at 10 points right now. And Spurgeon's got some. I mean, we got, you know, Suter and Spurgeon both have assists behind them. Yeah. But after that, yeah, it kind of tapers off pretty fast.
But granted, when, you know, Suter's playing half an hour a game, there's not a ton of ice time for that third line D pair.
Right.
You know, so you really can't blame him too much for not scoring.
And he's still sitting with no goals. Spurgeon has a goal. Yeah. Suter still has zero.
Yeah. Anyway, upcoming this week, right after this podcast is done, we're going to be watching the Wild playing in Anaheim, playing the Ducks. Then tomorrow, a little bit of a road trip here for the Wild. They play in San Jose against Pickles and Brent Burns and the rest of the Sharks. And then after that, they move a little bit further north. East against the Avalanche. They're doing that on Saturday.
Something like that, yeah.
And then we come back home for the Canucks on the 17th.
Oh, sweet nectar. The old rivalry. It's not as evil anymore watching them play, but, you know.
It's they're not a divisional opponent anymore.
Yeah.
Still love to hate them.
I can watch the game and appreciate it more now and not constantly just be like, make them pay.
Make them die. All of them. Especially the Sedin twins.
That Berluzzi guy is gone.
Well, the funny thing is this will be the first meeting between the Wild and the Canucks this season. So we'll get our first chance to see the Canucks led by Tortorella.
Oh, yeah.
So Tortilla?
Tortilla. Yeah, so that'll be that should be interesting.
Which I believe that the Canucks and the Rangers have already played. I think they played. I think that was one of the rivalry games that NBC Sports did early. Because, you know, it's
they didn't
wait a minute. A rivalry game?
Well, they didn't trade.
They maybe they did.
They effectively traded head coaches because Tortorella went from New York to Vancouver, and Vigneault moved from Vancouver to New York.
Maybe it wasn't the right. Well, I don't know. One of their game of the nights or game of the weeks. I don't think there's the rivalry one. I think that's Tuesdays.
Yeah. Wednesday. That's coast to
is
coast on the rivalry, man. That's a long. Long distance, a long distance rivalry.
Maybe it's just like their game of the week or something
like
that.
Just like long distance relationships.
Well, we're also talking
rivalries don't work.
Well, you're talking about rivalry like that. I'm sitting here thinking, really, we're just actually playing our first game against the Canucks this season, and we've already done our home and away versus the Canadiens. What?
Well, and the funny thing is, obviously, as Minnesota fans, we have no love lost for the Canucks. But at the same point, I don't know that. I don't know that. You know, the Canucks really felt the same way about the Wild and being, you know, rivalries, if you will.
No, because you know what our closest rivalry would have been? Well, it would have been Colorado.
In division.
You're divisionally. Right. Like a team that we play multiple times in a year. Or Calgary. But I think Calgary and Vancouver have more of a rival going against those two than we would.
It's not too much unlike the whole Packers-Vikings rivalry.
Or is it Packers and Bears?
Right. I guess it depends on where you are, but I'm going to have to say it's probably unlikely that many Vancouver fans ever viewed the Wild as a true rivalry.
No.
I'd argue that partially during, like, say, especially the Lemaire days, when he was fond of saying, you know, if I could get these guys to play like this every night as opposed to just against the Canucks, we'd already have the cup. I think there were points where they did go, what is it with the Wild? Why can't we beat them? Or why are they being such a pain in the ass to beat right now?
Well, which poses the question, who's going to be our rival right now? Our honest rival. Because Chicago still has some ties against St. Louis. Even though you got the old Minnesota-Chicago thing happening, Chicago was still in a division with St. Louis prior, and now they're back in it, or they remain in a division with St. Louis.
I'm going to say Winnipeg.
And I was going to go with Winnipeg. I was going to say, we're still going to have that Blackhawks rivalry, and it will happen soon.
I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. We've already played one playoff meeting against them.
This
last
is true.
Year, and there's a good chance with the in-division first round that we could end up facing them again this year in the first round. So, playoff matchups are going to really escalate that rivalry. But Winnipeg's also really close. You know?
And my argument on Winnipeg is actually due to a couple of the games. I know a few games back where I was commenting, there were no stoppages of play, and it was a day at the races where everybody was just skating, and skating very, very fast, a lot of end-to-end, and it was obvious that both teams were looking at it as practice for taking on Chicago to try and move on in the playoffs and go, if this is how the division is, this is how we play.
Well,
screw you.
I think a lot of it also is that it's going to be much not unlike the Packers-Vikings where you have Winnipeg fans coming down infiltrating the X and cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Because nothing's going to
piss off. They already have been.
Yes, they already have been. And nothing's going to piss off, or nothing shouldn't piss off, diehard Wild fans than another team's fans coming in their house and cheering for the road team.
Well, and another reason why I still argue the Canucks did actually think of us as a rivalry, because there were always a bunch of Canucks fans coming down from Canada, so they definitely make sure their Canada patch was showing as well.
I don't know how many actually came down or how many actually lived around the area.
Pete Compton can only account for one seat.
Well, there is that. So that gives us Winnipeg as our possible rivalry in our division.
Winnipeg or the Hawks, obviously.
I'm going with Chicago. St. Louis are going to be more of a rival against each other.
I think eventually it will shift back to Minnesota versus Chicago.
I think it's going
to
be Chicago. I don't think it's going to be St. Louis because, you know what? St. Louis, as much as they...
I don't think the Wild's rivalry would be St. Louis.
Well, as much as I don't want to diss on St. Louis, as a town, they just don't really give a damn about hockey. They're a baseball town.
This is true.
They're a baseball town through and through. Hockey just happens to be there.
How about Columbus? We seem to certainly have our troubles there.
They're in the Eastern Conference.
They aren't on our side, huh?
No.
Dallas. They're in the Metro Division.
What about Dallas, though?
I was thinking about Dallas, but... Okay, so that would basically leave us with Colorado, Nashville, and Dallas. Nashville's just kind of sitting out there, but I think Nashville and Dallas would have...
I'm sure Nashville hates us and thinks of us as a rival.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, they do just because of the Suter thing.
Right.
Well, and many, many different trades have happened. It's like you watch us shift on needing defensemen. We steal them from Nashville, and then we trade them a bunch of forwards. And then 2 years later, it's the exact opposite. And so we keep cycling through and getting a bunch of their players. And, you know, their management does get some good stuff from us, but usually we come out ahead on the trades.
Well, Suter wasn't really a trade. He was an acquisition.
Right. Zidlicky was as well.
This is true.
And I'm trying to think who else, insofar as when we were on our defensive cycle of stealing from the Predators. But we have taken a lot of, and it does fluctuate year to year. As we need something, we basically just reach down to Nashville and pull it up. And about the only thing that they've consistently been able to maintain and not have us pilfer from them is Pekka Rinne.
And Rinne's that signed for a long
time. I don't think Rinne's going anywhere.
No, yeah. No.
So now, with that, I mean, are we done with the Wild?
I suppose we can be.
I think so. Well, we got to talk about the our Gophers? Picks. Our Gophers.
Sweet Nectar. Oh, wait, that's not Sweet Nectar. Never mind. On Friday, December 6th, a sad day happened when Michigan State actually skated to a tie against the Gophers. 2-2.
Technical tie.
Everybody hang your head.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we've had our moment of silence, Michigan State did actually also take it in the shootout, but it didn't count for anything because of the...
Counts for points, doesn't count for a win-loss record.
Yeah, so...
Those kooky Big Ten shootout rules that they've got.
Good luck trying to figure that out at the end of the year.
I don't have an abacus, a protractor, and a compass readily available, and certainly not enough paper.
Well, it looks like you got a slide rule, though, so...
Oh, nerds!
That is probably the best time I've ever heard that sample. I don't
exactly. I was going to actually make a really crass comment, but, you know, he trumped me with that sample.
And then they followed up with the 3-2 win against Michigan State. So, you know.
They're on break.
They're on break for a long time.
Well, they got that the Mariucci Classic coming up first week of January. Yeah.
Is that the first week in the January?
Yeah, yes. January 3rd and
every year,
4th.
That
yeah.
Right?
Because
I usually remember it being closer to New Year's, but I think it depends on when the weekend falls.
Yeah, and I want to say it's toothpaste, Fenris Wolf, and rotations per minute that are all in that with the Gophers.
That translates to Ferris State, Colgate, and RPI.
Thank you for getting that and laughing right away, Aaron. Appreciate that.
Wow,
he's getting a lot of it. Mr. Midnight, we might have to take that sample away from you.
Wait, the button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Okay.
Well, at least the Gophers women fared a little bit better. They smoked Ohio State 9-1 and 5-1. Junior Rachel Bona had just a killer week, and she got her first collegiate hat trick on Saturday night. Got two more points on Saturday, giving her a total of 6 on the weekend. And then sophomore Milica McMillan from St. Paul, she recorded a record high 4 points on Saturday night. 8 Gophers had multiple points Saturday night. I mean, just killer all around for the ladies.
I guess the whole loss is they've just come roaring back.
Yeah, yeah. So they're also on break for a while until January 10th, where they play Ohio State again, this time at home at Ritter.
You know, it's a bummer they didn't have a big battle royale like the Lady Beavers did against Ohio State.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Except for there wouldn't be a beaver. Well, there'd still be a beaver.
The beaver beat down. Yeah, all right. Let's see. It also looks like the U of M and the Xcel Energy Center are going to host the Frozen Four in 2018, officially announced now.
Woohoo.
Yeah. Yay. Eighth time in U of M history to host the Frozen Four. So it should be interesting. In addition, they are slated to host the 2016 NCAA West Regionals.
Which they also will be doing this year as well.
This year.
Yay.
Fourth time at the X since 2010. It looks like every 2 years. However, I'm guessing 2018 they probably will not be, considering they've got the Frozen Four. I don't think that the NCAA would give them a West Regional and the Frozen Four.
I don't think that's normal for that to happen. So.
But I'm guessing we could probably look forward to it again in 2020, possibly.
There seems to be a pattern here.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
so jumping back to NHL.
Yeah, that does bring us to our game of the week. I thought I was worried you were going to miss
double
that
sample. I like that.
I was really worried you were going to miss that sample. Okay. Our last game of the week was Sharks at Wild. That was Jive's pick. Is that right?
That was my pick.
That was your pick? Yeah, all right. And I was the only one to pick the Wild to win.
Yeah. Yeah. We
homer.
Yeah, it's because I was a homer. No, I thought the upset would happen. Let's see. The final on that was 3-1, as we discussed earlier. I had it picked 3-2 with the Wild winning. You guys all had the Wild losing.
You're pretty close, Steve, to the score, even though you're the only one to choose the Wild. You're pretty damn close there.
And well, and our score picks were all really tight. They're also really tight for this coming one. I picked our old rival, the Canucks, to be our game of the week for this upcoming week.
Now you're the turncoat.
And now I totally did the turncoat. I went, you know, just because I want them to beat them so bad, I did actually be the only one of the four of us to pick the Canucks.
And you went with them at 4-2 with the Canucks winning. I went with the 4-2 with the Wild winning.
Yes.
So I'm going a little different than you. Same score, different outcome.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got them going at 3-2 with the Wild winning.
Jive.
And I'll round it up. I'll take the Wild, and they'll probably win in it might even be a shootout fashion, but they're going to win 4-3 in a close one with our arch rivals that we only – play.
Former arch rivals.
They could still
Nemesis
be our rivals.
Rivals
at heart.
Is that arch rival like the old video game?
Long distance rivals? I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, that will be that's our predictions for the Canucks at the Wild.
It's a love affair.
At home at the X here. Mainly between the Wild and their hot rod. All right, do we actually have a poll set up yet on our Three in the Box?
We will be
Facebook
posting
page?
That tonight.
Excellent. I totally forgot to do that last week because I'm an idiot and I'm a mean meanie and I got stuck going to work, hence why I left early.
So we'll be posting
Jive, did you want to try any other samples with that?
Come on, and the three of you guys, you pull one thing, you're out of this game.
You want to do another one just for your
Did you find the right one
sake?
Yet?
Nothing.
Crickets? Not even? Okay.
I think it's a time to move on sample. So we'll be putting up a poll with who should be our high school hockey team to follow. Give us a team. We'll leave it open for people to submit their own. Please don't put like Dick and Balls or something like that as a team, because we will not be following Dick and Balls.
we certainly won't be following that. And realistically, we're only taking real votes. We can probably just put up as a put your comment on which team we should follow.
Yeah, we could do either or. It doesn't really matter to me. But we'll get a poll up there, and we'll let you talk it out. And, or tweet us. You can tweet us. We are at 3 in the box. That's the number 3.
Tweet us who your team who you think your team should be.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, follow us on Twitter. At 3 in the box, the number 3. Also on Facebook, /3, the numeral 3 in the box.
Yep.
What else? What other social media evil do we have that we're corrupting?
You can also go to our website,
3inthebox.com.
Either or, numeral or spelled out.
I think we got a G+ page in the works right now, too.
Do we? Oh,
I think
awesome.
So.
What the hell is our developer doing?
We have a developer?
A developer.
Whoa.
Oh. Isn't that something you use to actually, you know, make photos happen?
Nerds.
All right.
This
has been 3 in the box. I am the Meat Beast. Follow me on Facebook, /.com, the Meat Beast. And then...
Yeah, when this is Aaron. When I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for 3 in the box, you can find me on Twitter at AaronGNP, and you can also check out the band I'm in with myself, Kenny, and Jive, pinrot.com.
And this is Jive, pinned to the boards over here. You can follow me if you're creepy, at Jive Midnight.
And this is Kenny saying hasta luego and have a good night. Follow me at RottenK999.
And, of course, keep listening, folks. We'll keep putting it out. Talk to you later.